The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good afternoon.
Ooh.
Headphones are really loud. How's everybody else? See, we're supposed to check this beforehand, but we don't.
Mic check, mic check, check, mic.
I wish you could see Bill's hair right now.
Oh, hold on.
He has a little top knot like those Pomeranians when they get back from the groomer.
Hey, they're not hair-friendly headphones. Okay?
I'm sorry.
Plus, most people don't have somebody sitting next to them and makes fun of their hair.
On radio.
Yeah.
I know, you could have gotten by with it, but
at least I have hair.
That's true.
Yeah.
What's left of it.
There
anyway,
we go.
So you're listening to We the People Radio. We're going to talk about another subject that's going to make you angry again this week. I guess that's why we goof off at the very beginning.
That's our job.
We're just faking you out.
Might get them all fired up.
Yeah, again. So today we are chatting here with Sheriff Tom Basenko, the Shasta County Sheriff. And we're going to talk about gun laws in California. So for those of you who live in...
All the new ones that just came through.
For those of you who live in Philadelphia, I don't know if yours are worse or better than ours. Probably better now. I think everyone's are better than ours, right?
Well, it depends on what you define as better, but...
Better if you're a gun owner.
I'm going to say Philadelphia will be pretty restrictive. Illinois is pretty restrictive. New York, very restrictive.
It's just...
And, of course, the infamous Chicago with their great gun laws.
And that's done so much for their crime.
Really helped
their crime.
Mm-hmm.
So, my name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And I'm Tom Basenko, Shasta County Sheriff.
And I'm Bob Martin.
Bob comes up with all our fun music. Hope you enjoyed all the pot songs last week. We had Sheriff John Lopia on last week from Siskiyou County. And if you missed...
Are you banned from Siskiyou County now for your
for pot songs?
Choice of songs?
I'm sure the potheads hate me.
Yeah.
Oh, but they hated me before. So you should probably listen to that if you still think marijuana is going to be a good deal for your town, your county, or your state. You could get the real story on what's going on in a place that's being overtaken. And you could find all that information at wethepeopleradio.us. So as we jump into this, Tom, give people a little snippet of your bio here.
Well, I've been in law enforcement for going on 38 years now. Been sheriff for 10 years here. Worked in grew up in the organization, so I got hired as a jail deputy. Worked my way through, promoted up.
So you started in jail?
Started in jail, yes, as a jail deputy.
Oh.
Right here at Shasta County, and then involved in almost everything. I was a canine handler, SWAT guy, dive team, and then became a sergeant, lieutenant, captain, and ran for sheriff, and here I am.
Nice. How different is it being the sheriff versus, you know, working in the sheriff's office, being like the not the sheriff guy?
Well,
is it just crazy responsibility?
Well, it very much so. There's an old adage that one of the presidents, Truman, said the buck stops here, the buck stops on my desk. So it's not like, hey, no problem, I'll let the sheriff or the undersheriff worry about it. I am the sheriff, so I have to worry about everything.
So if it's law enforcement in the county, you're it.
I am.
So when it comes to gun laws, you're it. You do all the CCW permit, the concealed weapons permit.
We have two incorporated cities in Shasta County, Redding and Anderson, and the previous chiefs ceded their authority to me to issue for the entire county. There are several counties in California that have done that as well, where the sheriffs issue all the concealed weapons permit, also referred to as CCW for our friends that listen out of state.
Yeah, because what are some of them call it something else.
Some call it a concealed carry license. It technically is a license versus a permit, but it's almost synonymous with permit. And in some states, you don't need a permit to carry concealed, or you don't need a permit to carry open either.
Oh.
Open carry is when you carry on your hip and it's
sure.
Visible.
Who doesn't need a didn't Missouri just
Alaska,
try that?
Alaska don't need it. I believe Idaho does not need one, but there's a few states where you don't need permits.
Nice. Well,
yeah. But
so not only do we need permits now,
here,
we'll be lucky if we can carry anything. We carry a rock.
Not here on the left coast. We have some of the strictest gun control laws in the nation, and we have a Democrat-controlled legislature here, and they push through a lot of gun bills this year.
How many did they have? What was the?
I don't know how many total. But there was a bunch. I didn't bring my total list with me.
I do have a total list on the site for anybody who wants to see what we could have had. And some of the ideas were just stupid.
Yeah, I heard the other day that one of the things they're going to be pushing for is to take the control of CCW issuance away from the sheriffs and putting it in the hands of the state. What do you know about that?
Haven't heard that part yet, but what they want to do, there was a bill that was going to be a gut and amend. Bill where they took an existing bill, gutted everything out of it, and then stuffed a bunch of stuff in it. And that was Assembly Bill 466, and they wanted to raise the level of, in California you have to do what they have good cause on. Why is there good cause to issue the permit? And so they wanted to raise that to where you needed a verifiable threat of serious bodily injury or life. That's going to be a pretty high standard for
most people. They already ruled on that's unconstitutional, didn't they?
They haven't ruled. Well, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that it is not a Second Amendment issue for concealed weapons permits. They went. We'll talk a little bit about that decision that was in Peruta v. San Diego and Richards v. Yolo County. And in those counties, Richards and Peruta were denied a CCW permit because they said they didn't have good cause. And then as the law changed, the governor signed away open carry, so it's illegal to open carry in California now. And so they said, hey, the only way that we can carry is with a CCW, and the policies and procedures of these counties do not allow us to get them. So they went to court, went to the Court of Appeals eventually. The Ninth Circuit Court is a federal court for our area. And first time the federal court said, basically you got to issue more permits and make it more like a shall carry. So if you have a good any reason is almost a good reason. And it wasn't great. It wasn't a great decision. It was worded kind of a wonky. That's an official term. But it wasn't really clear. And so some sheriffs went to issuing a lot of permits and changing their ways, and then some just kept it status quo. For us, it just kept status quo because we have a population here of about 177,000 people in Shasta County, covering about 3,800 square miles, and we have issuing a little over 7,000 permits. We're one of the top issuing counties in the state. Other counties, Sacramento, Fresno, Kern, all have over a million population, and they issue anywhere between 8,500, about 7,500 to 8,500 plus permits.
And what's the criteria that you have to follow?
You have to complete a course of training of anywhere from 8 to 16 hours, depending on what the sheriff or the chief of police would require. Chief of police can also issue permits. Excuse me. And then you have to, and that's a certificated program, you have to pass a background check and a local background check. So it's in-depth. You complete a form of about 20 pages developed by the state of California. And then most of the time you have interviews with the staff. And then if they have good cause, and good cause in Shasta County is personal protection, protection of others, and to comply with the law, or personal defense, self-defense. And
so they don't have to say that they're carrying money to the bank or, you know,
they can if they want,
working for Pinkerton.
But even if you're carrying money to the bank, that'd be personal protection.
Sure.
And self-defense there. If they say, I want to protect my house or I want to protect my money, you don't need permits to – it's not you're protecting your money. You're protecting yourself from robbery and crime.
Right. And so if you were a sheriff who didn't think people needed very very many permits, or you weren't a big fan of that, you could change it?
Yes. You could either raise that level because it just says you have to show good cause. Good cause is at the discretion of the sheriff or the issuing authority. And so like in San Francisco, millions of people live there. They have, like, literally one or two permits. In the Bay Area counties, which consist of Santa Clara, Contra Costa, Alameda, Marin, San Francisco, out of all those, you have less than, I think, 1,000 permits issued total out of all the millions.
So personal protection apparently isn't good enough.
Correct. That's someone else's job.
Correct.
So,
and we know how well that works out in Oakland, California, with all the shootings that they're having and violence down there.
Yeah.
Or down in Stockton, which is in San Joaquin County. Now, San Joaquin County, he does issue permits down there.
Now, how many issues have we had with our concealed carry permits here in Shasta County.
Hmm.
Do we ever have anybody go off the rails?
No.
Running wild?
No.
Shooting up the town?
No.
Yeah, it's funny how that works.
You know, sometimes a concealed weapons permit carrier will maybe pick up a DUI driving under the influence. Most of the time they don't have the gun with them, which is good. Bad that they went driving under the influence, but good they didn't have the gun with them while they're consuming alcohol. But that can get gets their permit revoked as well.
Even if they don't have the gun with them?
Because they're supposed to obey all laws, right. And obviously right. They weren't obeying laws.
So then how do they get it back? All their class and,
Then they usually, if you get convicted of the DUI, you're on probation for 3 years. They have to be off of probation, and it would take some distance time-wise to reapply and be eligible for it again.
What about all these folks with these pot permits, the 215 permits?
They don't get them.
And is that
if they admit that they're a 215, and for people that are out of state, that's the medical marijuana use, compassionate use act.
Can you check? I mean, is that something you can check prior to issuing?
No, because a 215 permit or recommendation can be verbal by a doctor as well.
Oh,
but we ask them a number of questions, and under federal law, even purchasing a firearm, if they were a medical marijuana person and answered the questions correctly, the dealer would not issue them again under federal law.
Really?
So if we find out about it, if they have one, we revoke it. Or during the interview, we won't approve it.
Interesting. So I guess I always figure the people we really need to educate are the people who don't know anything about firearms. Because
correct.
Those are the guys who vote for, laws that, make the rest of everybody's life hard. So, there are all these things out there about how, we need to have background checks and all that. I mean, the implication is that people are running around buying guns like Pez dispensers, and all they have to do is just get the candy to put in them. It's just no big deal.
Well,
it's not that
gun
easy.
Ownership nationwide, and in California, but gun ownership nationwide is up, and it has been since about 1981. There are about 400 million firearms estimated in the nation, with over 4 million gun owners. We have a very small percentage of crime that is used for gun violence, and even a smaller percentage that are using rifles. But those become the rallying point for the anti-gunners. There are more murders and assaults committed with knives and hammers than there are firearms. Mm-hmm. And sometimes what they roll into gun violence, the anti-gunners, they also include suicides. And unfortunately, here in Shasta County, suicides with the use of firearms is two times higher than the state average. But that's not the fault of the firearm. We're a firearm county.
Well, it's very difficult.
I look at it as mental health issues.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And issues of being able to reach out and get some assistance and going from there. Suicide is very impulsive. And so if people have to do a lot of planning for it, like hanging, I have to find a place sturdy enough to put the rope to. I have to find a sturdy enough rope. I have to stand on a ladder or something.
There's a lot of planning with that.
And then usually the person, all this effort isn't worth it. I'm not going to do it. Or, I'm going to commit suicide by putting a hose in the exhaust of my car. Well, they have to have the hose and do it in the car and
start
it up.
A lot of planning.
So if they can get away from that impulse, usually the odds go up that they won't commit suicide. With a handgun or a long gun, a rifle or shotgun, it's impulsive. They get it. And amazingly, 80% of the time, it's effective. So 20% of people that shoot themselves survive from a suicide attempt.
Wow.
They may not be in the best of shape, but they do survive.
I was going
to
say.
Yeah. We've got to take a break, but when we come back...
Gary Hollihan's on hold.
Yeah, we'll talk to Gary. But I also want to talk about the marijuana initiative that we're going to be voting on and how that's going to impact.
And before we leave guns, I'd like to
We're going to
recap what was approved in the state legislature this last week and signed by the governor.
But I want to know how this initiative is going to affect the issuance of CCWs if we pass recreational marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
So
that'll be interesting. And Gary, we won't forget about you on the line, but we'll be back after the break.
It's a good thing we have an hour and a half left. Good grief. We've got so much to talk about. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Be right back.
are but good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body. Then they go. What shall we do about them?
My neighbor's car got stolen last night, right out of his driveway. We heard the dogs barking. We never paid him any mind. And Mary says she's gonna lock the door from now on when we go away. I've been walking around this farm, wondering if it's time. Time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. I could afford.
Yeah, time to do a lot of thanking.
Time to do a lot of thanking if you're going to do drinking and buy a gun.
I think gun sales will probably be escalating here in California.
Oh, do you think?
And also ammunition sales.
Yeah.
And we'll be covering that. So, what about the bills?
Gary,
that
we got to talk to Gary.
Oh, that's right.
We have a hostage. We have a hostage.
Sorry, Gary.
Fire away.
Happy Independence Day.
Happy Independence Day to you as well, even though we're getting less independent as we go. But,
all right.
Yes.
Aaron, I think you'll appreciate this.
Yes?
I plan to comply with Governor Brown's request of law to – I plan to send him 30-round magazines.
Nice.
You caught that.
Yes, I did.
All right. Good. All right. For Sheriff Thomas
okay,
and right. others, Federalist 46 – by James Madison specifies and unequivocally the right to bear arms and defines the militia and why it hasn't, but well, I know the liberal press does not want to touch it, but I'm surprised that many history books don't either. They use others, and Federalist 46 is very specific as far as the right to bear arms and the definition of the militia, and the militia happens to be we, the people. So just for reference, whatever, and Sheriff Tom, I'm looking forward to you seeing the Reading Patriots in a couple weeks on Monday night. We will have fun. So thanks again, everybody. Take care.
Thanks, Gary. Thanks, Happy Gary. 4th.
You know, Gary makes a good point, and I haven't read the Federalist 46 paper that he is referring to, but the Second Amendment reads a well-regulated militia, comma, being necessary for the security of a free state, comma, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, comma, shall not be infringed. Some people think that the militia is the nation's armed forces, the military. That's not true. The military,
the National Guard, so to speak.
The National Guard is, mm-hmm. is controlled by the state. They are under the umbrella of the military, but they're controlled by the governor of the state of California or any state that has National Guard. But they still are controlled by the government. Law enforcement. They said, well, you got law enforcement. Law enforcement is still covered by a government entity.
Mm-hmm.
The militia is formed by the people.
Outside the government.
And that's what they want to do. Even back as early between 600 and about 900 A.D. in merry old England, they wanted the citizens to be armed. At that time, obviously, it was probably bows and arrows and spears, but they wanted them to be armed. And then later, England, under James, took away those arms under the Anti-Poaching Act. And then they said, hey, we got our own army, but it answers to the king. Then later, Parliament in... much later, said, no, we want to give back the right of people to have arms so they can support and defend the realm or the them. So where does that come from? That comes from our oath of office that we take now, that we say we're going to support and defend the Constitution of the United States and then here in California and the Constitution of the State of California. So Gary's right. A lot of people don't understand that the militia is not the military. The military answers to the commander-in-chief, which is the president of the United States.
And so there's the rub right there, Tom, is you swore an oath to to defend the Constitution of the United States, but you also have to enforce law and order.
That's correct.
So when they say this is the law, it puts you in kind of a bind.
I have to follow the law, but then also I can set precedents as to what is a priority for us to enforce. Some of these
kind of like the president did with his immigration bills.
Hmm. So we have a lot of issues here with methamphetamine, heroin, marijuana, burglaries, thefts, and other crimes. You're not going to see the problem is not law-abiding citizens. Now, if some criminal is out causing a problem and he has a has an LCM, and LCM is a large capacity magazine, yeah, he could find himself sideways. Mm-hmm. Of course, he's not. If he's a criminal, he's a felon. He's not supposed to have a firearm anyway. There's about three or four articles
right,
in our
right,
paper
right. You don't even
today
know,
of felons with firearms.
Right.
And they're all getting permits, right?
Permits.
Yeah.
No, they don't get a CCW
yeah.
permit if they're a.
See one from Guido.
No, but I mean, you know, people think that you know, we make these laws that's going to make us safer, but
it's going to be much.
I think what they fail to understand is criminals don't.
You know,
to
our legislators still do not understand that firearms are used to protect themselves, to protect the people themselves. Now, if you don't want a firearm, fine, don't get one, but. Over 200 years ago, one of our forefathers, Thomas Jefferson, excuse me, said the laws that now listen to this carefully. The laws that forbid the carrying of arms, and that's happening right now as we speak, are of such a nature they disarm those who are neither inclined nor determined to commit crimes. They're disarming the law-abiding citizen.
Mm-hmm.
Such laws makes things worse for the assaulted, the victim, and better for the assailants, the criminals.
Sure.
They'd rather serve, they serve rather to encourage than prevent homicides. Of course, again, they're talking about the criminal. For the unarmed man may be attacked with greater confidence than the armed man. So the greater confidence comes from the criminal who is armed. And that's more applicable probably right now in our times than it was over 200 years ago. And we need to... As a society, and I'm paraphrasing from a Ronald Reagan quote, that just because every time a law is broken, society is to blame. Hey, we need another law. Well, they're usually impacting the law-abiding citizen.
Right.
But not the criminal.
Well, law-abiding citizens are the only ones who care about the law.
There was a Proposition 47 was voted on by the voters last year. It turned a lot of felonies into misdemeanors. One of those was stealing a firearm. So if you stole a gun prior to this Prop 47... It was a felony. Doesn't matter if the gun was worth $25 or $2,500. Prop 47 said, if the gun is worth $950 or less, which is the vast majority of most guns, mm-hmm. especially when they're used,
handguns, yeah.
it's a misdemeanor, a simple ticket you can give someone.
So all these people who think we need more gun laws actually made it easier for criminals because they're not in jail.
Less consequences.
Sure.
So there was a piece of legislation here in California by Cooper out of Sacramento, and he's a former sheriff's deputy, sheriff's captain, I believe, out of Sacramento. He made a piece of legislation that said, hey, let's restore this back, and if you steal a gun, doesn't matter the value, let's make it a felony again. That one was not signed into law. It didn't make it because our liberal legislature don't want to make laws that punish the criminal. Back in the late 90s, there was in Richmond, Virginia, they were overwhelmed with crime, a lot of gun-related crimes. They weren't getting prosecuted well within the courts. So out came a project from the federal government at that time called Project Exile. And all the felons and people that were committing crimes with guns, rather than being prosecuted under state law, was prosecuted federally. Vigorously prosecuted and harsh punishments for those that found it. And so people were going off to federal prison for violating, committing gun violence and such. What happened? Crime went down in Richmond, Virginia. Also what happened? Crime went up in the surrounding communities because they were still being prosecuted there. So if you prosecute, and even our governor has said that we have more than enough laws on the books now. We just need to enforce the ones we have and enforce it vigorously. But then we have AB 109 that let more people out of prison and doesn't send them back. And now we're coming up with another governor's initiative. But let me cover some of the laws that were signed into by the governor this last week. Assembly Bill 1135, and that defines what assault weapons. So it's identical to Senate Bill 880, and it means that any semi-automatic rifle or pistol, so remember there's a lot of pistols out there with detachable magazines, that does not have a fixed magazine, but one is defined will be defined as an assault, have assault weapon characteristics. Current law defines them as having the capability to accept a detachable magazine and one of the defined characteristics, which has a handle on it and some other things, a flash suppressor. It also defines what a fixed magazine is. It becomes law January 1 of 2017, as do most of these as well.
Does that affect caliber?
No. Only center fire.
Center fire. Okay.
So it won't affect rim fires, but center fire rifles or pistols. And it does not apply to possession of an assault weapon that if you've already possessed one and it was registered beforehand. But if you have a bullet button gun, right, that's going to become banned under there. And here's another one. So you can't lend. It would be a crime to lend a firearm to someone other than your family member. So like your spouse or a child, grandparents. So you go hunting with your family, you can lend them, hey, let's take this gun and go hunting. But now you can't lend a gun. That's going to impact ranges within California that want to teach shooting, 4-H, FFA have shooting sports. High schools have shooting sports such as trap and skeet.
So I go to a range that has a whole array of weapons on the wall. You can try any of those. You're not going to be able to do that anymore?
No, because they're lending
correct
a firearm or renting it.
And so if you go hunting with a grandkid or a nephew or something, you can't give him a gun to shoot.
Right.
He can watch. Yeah.
The bill also requires if the firearm's being loaned, if it's a handgun, it has to be registered to the person loaning it. So, again, if it was an older gun, maybe it was your grandfather's, and you want to loan it to somebody else, like your child, to go out shooting, adult child or teenager, that would, and if it's not registered anywhere, which prior to 1969 was not required, that would be illegal in itself as well.
But you can't loan them anyway, though, right?
You can, well, now you can't, in effective in 17, but right now you could. If you and I wanted to go hunting, hey, I don't have a gun. And I said, well, here, borrow mine and we'll shoot a little bit.
Gotcha.
Or if you want to take a French
on
it, that's legal, right?
I can do it now, but it
right
has to be registered to me. The gun has to be
registered. Doesn't have to be registered to you now. Under this law, it will be.
Okay.
So another one is it made it a crime to file a false police report or law enforcement report that your gun was lost or stolen.
Oh, let's hang on to that one until after the break, because that is just extra.
Are we coming up on a break?
Yeah, again.
Because
okay.
We
got two more before the top there.
We got a bunch of them here.
It's okay. We have a whole other hour after that.
These all come into effect
we'll blow
in January
that too.
1.
Most do, yes.
Okay.
So you are listening to We the People. We have a ton of information for you today with Sheriff Tom Basenko. We're talking about all the California laws that have been signed by Governor Jerry Brown. You can find us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Lip sits above the mantle on a couple rusty nails. Ain't worth a lot of money, and it damn sure ain't for sale. Good Lord only knows all the stories it could tell. My granddaddy's gun, he bought it new out of the Sears Roebuck catalog. It shot a many shells over the back of an old bird dog. It backed the burglar down when Grandma took the safety off granddaddy's gun.
I remember when I used to play shoot 'em up,
bang bang, baby.
Nice.
Now you get expelled from school.
Chasing them. Forget beating them up.
Or playing bang bang.
Oh, there's that too.
Yeah.
And for heaven's sakes, don't eat a sandwich in the shape of a gun.
Or a Pop-Tart.
Yeah, that will get you kicked out.
Yeah.
But now you can go in the girls' bathroom if you're a boy, because that's important.
Well, I've always had a problem with that.
You've always wanted to go in the girls' bathroom?
Yes.
And now no one will understand the reruns of MASH anymore because
I just hate it when they
Klinger
give me
gets
funny
to
looks.
Be in the army.
Yeah, they always give me that look.
And where you're, can you imagine that? Yeah, you could go be a transgender in the military. So you got, yeah, we've lost our minds.
Yeah.
So Bill, you might own a few firearms. And you go out shooting once in a while.
As far as you know, Tom, yes, I do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Gun
hypothetically,
county, okay.
So.
Yeah, hypothetically. But now, hey, you want to go after January 1st of 2017, if you want to go buy some ammunition, now you're going to have to get a license, get backgrounded to go buy your ammunition, and the person that's selling it to you is going to have to be licensed and backgrounded as well.
So that means not just the business that's selling it, but also the clerk at the register
correct.
Has to be
and
licensed.
The purchaser has to be licensed
right.
to purchase it. You're not going to be allowed to purchase ammunition out of state and just bring it back into the state. If you purchase that
legally
mm-hmm. you'll have to send it to a dealer and then the dealer in California and do that transaction here again. If you went hunting out of state, let's say people go to Oregon, Colorado, and Idaho hunting anywhere else, and they took ammunition with them, they won't be able to bring that back in because it's unknown where it was purchased, and they'd have to run it back through a dealer again. And that was Senate Bill 1235.
Wow, that's
it's a
brilliant.
New regulatory framework, and that's going to make law enforcement and others the ammunition police. That was vigorously opposed by our sheriffs, myself, and sheriffs throughout the state and our association. The Los Angeles County District Attorneys Association, Deputy District Attorneys Association, opposed that and is also opposing the Newsom initiative that we'll talk as well.
Here's, hypothetically, I want to buy some ammunition. I'm going to Oregon. I stop in Yreka and I buy some legally. I have it in my car. I don't keep receipts. I throw them away. I go to Oregon. I buy some more in Oregon, and then I come back into California with it. And I get stopped in Red Bluff with several boxes of ammunition. Transporting that ammunition is not illegal. Why would I have to prove where I bought it?
Because now, are you importing it into the state?
No, I just carry it in my car. I've had it in my car for months. I mean, how can you enforce that?
That's one of the problems with it. And
exactly.
It's going to cause a huge state regulatory bureaucracy.
Sure it is.
Think lots of money, millions of tens of millions of dollars to make databases to license dealers and vendors
sure.
and clerks and the purchasers of it as well.
Well, it's gonna just swamp the courts. I mean, for the officer on the street that stops somebody and he's writing him a speeding ticket and he sees a box of shells on the seat of the car, that in of itself is not illegal, but if he says, where'd you buy them? I bought them, I don't know, I don't remember.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you enforce
And then
you
it's
going
to be,
that?
We go shooting, and maybe you forget to bring some 9mm ammunition and say, hey, no problem, here's a box. Can't do that. Now that makes me a criminal if
right.
I loan you ammunition because it's not going through
now
a
you
license.
Can loan, isn't there a limit? There's like you can loan up to 50 rounds, but 51 is illegal?
No. Can't loan ammunition.
Period.
Any?
No Any. Ammunition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the bill provides that a vendor shall not sell, transfer, or display any ammunition in a manner that allows it to be accessible to a purchaser, so it's going to have to be behind the counter now. You just can't go to the shelf and grab a box of shells. So now vendors are going to have to change their storefronts and stores on the way they have the ammunition displayed now because it's not going to be accessible to mm-hmm. the purchaser.
So you can't go into a store now and shop for the best price. And
remember, like for CCW classes, sometimes they loan you firearms or sell, give
right.
you ammunition or sell it.
Yeah.
Again, 4-H, FFA, when you're taking a hunter safety course, usually the hunter safety instructors have a few guns they could loan and also ammunition, especially if they bring the wrong ammunition or kids forget to bring the ammunition. They've loaned it. Now that'll become illegal.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be a nightmare.
So here's another one from
any idea on the cost of what that's going to cost the state to
implement? I know it's going to be into the tens of millions of dollars, because they'll have to create a regulatory entity. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to set up computers and staff, and then they want to also eventually cross-check it with their armed prohibited persons list. We call it APPS, so that they can compare that a person buying ammunition is not a prohibited person. And then they eventually want to link it together. Was, why are you buying this 9mm ammunition? Because you don't own a 9mm gun.
Is that illegal? I mean, is it
right now? It is not.
So
but
I
that's
can buy ammo if I'm not allowed to have a gun. I can still buy ammo.
Oh yeah.
Wow, it's brilliant legislation.
So here's another one out of Hancock out of Berkeley. So that says enough there. If you know Berkeley,
yes.
But this one is going to be banning large-capacity magazines. They're referred to as LCMs. And so any magazine that has more than 10 rounds is a detachable magazine, becomes illegal. It'll basically be an infraction for to have that and get a fine of $100 if you have such a magazine. And it requires the person who, prior to July of 17, this takes place of July of 17 of next year, that if you illegally possessed a large-capacity magazine, you have to either dispose of it, no compensation, in one of the following ways, which remove it from the state, so if you have some friends that live out of state, sell it to a licensed firearms dealer, destroy it, lawfully destroy it, and don't say that you destroyed it and didn't, or surrender it to a law enforcement agency for destruction.
Hey, there's
probably tens of millions of those magazines throughout California.
Oh, yeah, sure. And there's a lot of weapons out there that only use high capacity.
And this is going to be probably challenged as well, because it's an illegal take, because it's not compensating you for that.
Correct.
And it's also a lot of people refer to it as a retroactive bill. The term is ex post facto. But basically, the Constitution also allows, it says, that no state shall enact an ex post facto law. And so there's a lot of those magazines out there. We refer to them as pre-ban magazines, that prior to the law changing in California, that you can't buy a magazine that has in excess of 10 rounds. That was a number of years ago. Now it's going to make all of those pre-ban magazines illegal.
What is the on the bill we were talking about on the ammunition? One thing we didn't mention was the cost of being permitted to buy ammunition.
That's going to cost, they say it's going to be a $50 licensing fee. So you'll have to purchase a license to purchase ammunition, get backgrounded. And I imagine probably every time you're going to go in, you're going to have to double check, because you could have become a prohibited person in the meantime and stuff like that. So I don't know how they're
going to enforce it.
Well, like if with our concealed weapons licenses or permits, if you were arrested in Los Angeles, we get a teletype that says, hey, Bill was arrested in Los Angeles for the following charges. And then we take action from there. So they'd probably do something for the similar if you had a license and then you were arrested or something happened, you got a restraining order. Then they'd notify the state.
Under this new law, do I have to be licensed to possess ammunition? In other words, if I have bought my ammunition two, three years ago.
I might know somebody that might have a few thousand rounds at their house.
just for instance,
But there's a lot of sportsmen that have literally tens of thousands of rounds of either .22 ammunition, or if they're duck hunters and stuff, legitimately.
They're not going to go out and buy a license. They don't need to. They've already got ammunition. So
eventually they will have to, as they consume the ammunition and use it for hunting. Like, you know, a person that's shooting trap or skeet, they shoot a lot of rounds, or somebody that shoots competitively.
Well, see, we were talking about this on our way over. You know, this will effectively reduce the quality of the people who own firearms. They won't be able to practice.
Right.
So this will make everybody actually less safe.
If you're a competitive pistol shooter, you may shoot up to 1,000 rounds a week preparing for competition or more.
Sure.
I remember Sam rattled off some number. Yeah, Sam Paredes of his.
So far, many of the competitive shooters also, unless they're sponsored, some of the competitive shooters reload. So far, this has not impacted reloading supplies like primers, cases.
Oh, but that's coming.
But I'm sure that's going to be coming.
Also, there's no license required to buy the supplies.
Components.
The components.
So far. That's going to be the next one, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure that's coming because, I'm sure they'll consider that. Those are the really bad guys.
Yeah.
Jeez. All right, one more quick break before the top of the hour.
Okay.
We will be right back with Sheriff Tom Basenko. We're talking about guns, gun laws, stuff like that. You can find all this information on our website, wethepeopleradio.us.
Shotgun Willie sits around in his underwear, biting on a bullet, pulling out all of his hair. A Shotgun Willie's got all of his family there. Well, you can't make a record if you ain't got nothing to say. You can't make a record if you ain't got nothing to say. You can't play music if you don't know nothing to play. A Shotgun Willie sits around in his underwear, biting on a bullet and pulling out all of his hair. A Shotgun Willie's got all of his family there.
Never see it coming, it just hits you by surprise. It's that cold place in your soul, and that fire in her eyes that makes you come together. Like wild horses when they run, now the cards are on the table, and the bullets in the gun.
Not for long. Those bullets will be like gold. Nobody will want to use them for anything.
Actually, they won't be worth anything because you can't give them to anybody or sell them unless you're
a dealer. And the criminals, I'm sure, are all going to go register all this stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, how likely does this create, Tom, kind of like a giant gun-free zone? I mean, most of these mass shootings happen in gun-free zones because they know everybody's unarmed.
That's correct. And there was a law made last year that said, if you have a concealed weapons carry and you cannot now carry it on school, college, or university campuses. They used to be you could. There was an exemption for that, but then they made it a law you cannot. And that's just saying that telling criminals, that's not going to stop a criminal from coming onto any of those gun-free zones. And they'll just know that there's no one there to protect themselves.
Well, they're already doing that, and they're not going to stop doing it if they
Anderson Union High School District, which is in Shasta County, became the first school district in the state to allow concealed carry, because the way the law was written, it said that a superintendent of schools could approve concealed carry on their campus. So they said, hey, if you have a concealed weapons permit for two high schools within their school district, you can carry concealed on there. And they don't have any vetting process. They do it. And then there's some other schools throughout the state that are considering it, some in the Sacramento area and some here. But their insurance carriers are saying if you're going to allow guns on campus, your liability insurance is going to triple. Some of them look like they were tripling, which will make it probably cost ineffective, and they won't do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's better to insure a gun-free zone for people who've had background. I mean, you don't get a concealed weapons permit, as we've shown.
They're not easy to get. When I issue permits, generally we have to find the exception not to issue versus issuing. And that's what we're looking for. We want to have good, responsible people getting the permits. We haven't had problems with it. And then the sheriff in Sacramento County, Sheriff Scott Jones, was attacked by two of his boards of supervisors and by an assemblyman, McCarthy, because charging him that he was handing out, and I quote, handing out concealed weapons permits like Halloween candy. So McCarthy made two pieces of legislation. Both of them did not move forward, and what that means before the end of session, what that means is they're likely to see him come back probably in August or the next session starting in January. But he wanted to raise the fee for a concealed weapons permit, that basically it has to recover, the county has to recover all the cost associated with issuing permits and enforcing and monitoring them, which would probably make it cost prohibitive for most people to own.
Well, don't they already absorb the cost of issuance? I mean,
don't necessarily absorb, but we have to do maintain it. We have a
we charge
for it.
Yeah.
But if you start adding in, okay, we got the building, which is a sunk cost, the computer systems, maintaining the files.
It doesn't cover all of it.
That's going to be cost prohibitive. Well, now they're going to make an elite class that only the elite could have maybe afford a concealed weapons permit. And then McCarty also made another that gut and amend bill where he wanted to make it a very high standard of for good cause. Right now, good cause is determined by the sheriff or the chief of police in that city or county. And that is pretty subjective, but it gives a lot of discretion of what that is. And most of the rural county sheriffs will be, just as mine is, self-protection, defense, and protection of others.
Sure.
And comply with the law. So it looks like we're coming up on a break, it sounds like. And news.
Either that or we are in Ferris Bueller.
Yeah. But Bob's going to tell us that here in a minute, I think.
We're here talking about guns and gun laws with Sheriff Tom Basenko. We'll be back in just a few minutes after the news. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Basenko. Basenko. Basenko.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good afternoon, and more specifically, happy 4th of July.
Happy birthday, America.
It's the 3rd of July, right. But, you know, I know a lot of people who had birthdays yesterday and tomorrow. I don't know about today, but a lot of people born on the 4th of July.
Our area, Congressional District Number 1, our own congressman had a birthday. Was it July 1?
Nope, yesterday.
Yesterday,
2nd.
July 2nd.
And our chief of staff is tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
I know. Busy whizzy.
Wow.
So,
their folks were at the same party.
Yeah.
Was yesterday.
Yeah.
So was mine.
Oh, that's
wow.
Right. I saw that on my phone. I'm such a loser.
Wow, we need to go back.
Well,
we need
to go back
happy
in time.
Birthday. Happy birthday, Bob.
Bob.
Yeah. Happy birthday,
Doug.
Sorry.
Their parents were all at Woodstock.
How do you know?
I don't know.
Yeah. Pothead. Are you a pothead, Fokker?
No, I'm not a pothead.
Okay.
The sheriff's sitting here for crying out loud.
Oh, yeah. Brother. So we're talking about, seems inappropriate, but we're talking about guns.
Belated happy 4th of July to our Philadelphia area listeners.
That's true. Yep. We use their symbol of the cracked bell for our show. It's not just a cracked bell, though, is it? All right. So,
you know, we've been talking a lot about guns and gun legislation.
Don't even know where to begin.
Well, I got some more.
All right.
We have our lieutenant governor is Gavin Newsom. He used to be the mayor of the Republic of San Francisco. A very liberal place.
San Francisco. And
he's very much a big anti-gunner and very much of a pro-marijuana person. So, but he made a...
Imagine that.
He went out and gathered signatures for a gun initiative. And it's called the Safety for All Initiative.
Of course it is.
Doesn't that sound nice? Not.
Fantastic.
It's more the Safety for None. So have we been discussing these pieces of legislation? Notice I said legislation. Pieces of legislation that were just approved. Now here's his Safety for All Initiative. It would ban possession of all 10 magazines over 10 rounds. Well, they just made that into that'll be effective in January. Ammunition sales restrictions, that it's going to restrict the ammunition purchaser. They'll have to register and get licenses. That's already signed into law. That'll take effect as well. And all transactions for ammunition purchasing must be done face-to-face. So that made it a little bit different in that you couldn't go mail order unless you get it here to the vendor, and then the vendor would sell it to you face-to-face here.
The views and opinions of shows on...
And the initiative is going to prohibit residents from bringing ammunition obtained from an out-of-state purchase out of California. It's going to require a driver's license and other identification and to what type of brand and ammunition is being transferred, and it's going to require a whole lot of that, and then electronically submitting it to Department of Justice, making another big old database as well.
Oh.
And, of course, when you say database, it's going to take a lot of money, tens of millions of dollars to make that database, have the computers, the staff to do all the input.
I was just going over that in my mind, how many people it's going to take to input this.
And that's just one other place where you can get on a list and screwed up.
Now, remember, this was just signed into law, so it's on the initiative bill. And to be able to purchase ammunition, you're going to have to get an ammunition purchase authorization, a license, every 2 years, pay a $50 fee, submit to a background check, and that could take up to 30 days. So if you want to go hunting this weekend, forget that, because it could take up to 30 days.
Yeah, you better already have the ammo or you're not going.
And have current authorization and be included in that list. There's a whole bunch more to be authorized to sell it. You're going to have to report your gun when it becomes lost or stolen. You have to report that within a certain amount of time or else you'll become a criminal once you know about it being lost or stolen.
Yeah, now that one I was a little surprised to hear that that wasn't already a law, that you're supposed to report a stolen weapon.
It makes good sense.
Sure.
And it is good sense in being responsible. But maybe you're unaware of it, or maybe you couldn't get to a phone. Maybe if you're at a cellular, non-cellular site, say if you're at a remote cabin or out hunting and it was lost, then you may not be able to. This one, if you don't report it within 48 hours, now a criminal. Repeal the preemption of ammunition sales, and it basically would allow local governments to impose even stricter regulations for the sales of ammunition. So there are no more gun stores left in San Francisco. The last one closed around the first of the year. And so if San Francisco wanted to make even more strict regulation on the sales of ammunition, they could. It would repeal firearms theft. That would repeal the part that says that would make some theft of firearms a misdemeanor. That's probably about the only redeeming factor of that initiative. I don't support it, but that's the only thing that makes sense in there. And so prohibited persons have to relinquish their firearms. People that are criminals are prohibited from owning firearms have to relinquish them. Let me know how that's working right now in the state of California. And it would create a system which persons convicted of crimes that prohibit them from owning them could relinquish, sell, or transfer their firearms. So basically they don't know if they're not going to be criminals. But that already exists.
Yeah.
There's an armed prohibited person system, we refer to as APPS, in California, that if you're a prohibited person, you're on this list.
Right.
And the state of California has teams throughout the state that are going to people's houses and knocking on doors and saying, hey, you're a prohibited person. The only problem with that is the database is also wrought with errors, and it requires a whole lot of labor to check to ensure that they are prohibited persons, because maybe the court didn't properly report that the case had been dismissed or reduced to a misdemeanor.
Because that's a lawsuit looking for a place to happen.
Oh, they had it early on. A few years ago, they had it early on. They went in, kicked some doors, and arrested people, and like, hey, the person no longer lives here.
Oh, sorry.
The person's deceased.
Yeah. I remembered you saying that you guys weren't going to follow that list because it was way too messed up.
Yes, yeah. And some places have reported that it had an error rate of about 40%. That's a pretty good database.
Yeah, 40%.
Yeah,
being
sarcastic.
That's
fantastic.
I'd like to have those odds.
So, and then Newsom's initiative initially did not have any exemptions for law enforcement. And now he built those in to try and make it more law enforcement friendly. But
so you guys would be – so people in law enforcement would be criminals if
– No, we could still have large capacity magazines and a few things. But I think he only did that so law enforcement wouldn't oppose it. But the California State Sheriff's Association, of which I'm a member, have led the charge on many of the gun legislations opposing them, are opposing it. The L.A. County Deputy District Attorneys Association is opposing the initiative. And, of course, many of the pro-gun groups are opposing it.
Yeah, are you folks going to file any kind of challenge to these laws once they...
Probably the CRPA, California Rifle Pistol Association, National Rifle Association, and Gun Owners of California will probably be appealing it. Now, some people, even in the chat room, have said, hey, let's take these some of these laws to the Supreme Court. Remember that we're missing a justice in the Supreme Court. Judge Scalia passed away. And now it's, quote, a balanced Supreme Court.
Yes.
They have
4-4.
4-4. And then Judge Kennedy, Justice Kennedy, is the swing vote all the time. Depends on which way he wants to vote. It's very important. Whoever becomes the President of the United States, doesn't matter, I know it does matter who.
Superman.
No matter who becomes the president, that person is probably going to appoint about four Supreme Court justices and countless appellate court federal judges to the bench. And so right now they have Scalia's position. They have
Ginsburg, 800 years old.
She's talking about retiring. Clarence Thomas has spoken about retirement as well. So there's three right there. And then I'm sure there's somebody in the wings that I can't name but is probably thinking about retirement. So four. That would change
complexion
and the makeup of the court in our lifetimes. It'll be next for the next 40 or 60 years. Remember that a Supreme Court justice or even a federal court judge is a lifetime appointment.
Wow.
Yeah, so we're
so do you know what the difference between a federal judge and God is? God does
God
not
lives
think,
longer than they do?
God does not think that he's a federal judge. Anyway, so the state sheriff's
this is a really scary show today, you guys.
So the California State Sheriff's Association, we are already on record as opposing the Safety for All initiative. That's what Newsom is billing it as. It has qualified for the November ballot. It's going to be on there along with some marijuana initiatives as well. But basically, and I've said it many times before, that California has some of the strictest gun control laws in the nation. Yet violence caused by criminals, gang members, and those prohibited persons that still have guns, as well as the mentally ill, still continues. Certainly, we don't want to see guns. We state sheriffs or any of the pro-gun groups don't want to see guns in the hands of criminals or those with mental health issues. Domestic violence restraining orders, background checks. You know, we support the existing background checks of what we had. Everybody, if you're purchasing a firearm here in California, you have to go through it to be legal. You have to go through a gun dealer, and you're going to get backgrounded check, and that's for either for a long gun or for a pistol. Even if you're doing a purchase between two individuals, you have to go to a gun dealer for that transaction to take place legally. And the gun show loophole that everybody talks about, there are no gun show loopholes here in California. You have to go through a dealer.
Yeah, there have been.
And they process them there. There's a 10-day waiting period to do that as well. Basically, and this initiative will do little to prevent the criminal element from acquiring guns and ammunition via the black market or from coming to somebody's house and stealing it. And basically, it's going to put a lot more restrictions on law-abiding citizens who want to purchase ammunition for sport or hunting or competition, or just to retain their own guns or family heirloom guns for the next generation. And that's why we're opposing it. The state legislature, we've said it many times again before, that they should, if they want to reduce gun violence, focus on the problem, the criminal, those responsible for the violence, and those that have and don't focus on the people, the law-abiding citizen, who have no intent of committing crimes with those guns.
Well, I think what's really bringing a lot of this, well, I know what's bringing a lot of it to the forefront, isn't really, unfortunately, the crime that we're seeing in this state. It's the whole jihadist fear people have now that, people are coming here and to do us harm, and so we're going to make it really hard for them to get a gun. It's just the wrong approach.
Yeah, like they don't have, every single one of these, they find these radical Islamic mosques, and they find caches of weapons there. I'm sure all those are registered.
Yeah. Well, if they're not, they're going to, after January.
I'm sure they're probably going to go turn them in. Because they probably have high-capacity magazines.
What it seems to be somewhat forgotten about or else pushed down, the media doesn't report on it, the tragedy, the terrorist action that occurred in San Bernardino, California. There was two semi-automatic rifles that were used in the commission of those crimes there. They were legally purchased, and then one of them was illegally altered and used in the commission of a crime. The person had been on the watch list as well down there. But what that gets pushed down is they had a duffel bag full of pipe bombs. Well, now are they going to start registering pipe?
Plumbing supplies.
If you have a 3-inch pipe, is that going to have to be a large capacity pipe that you're going to have to register?
That's right.
Purchasing over X amount of feet of pipe. But it's illegal to have bombs. But they still had them.
But they had bombs. And they make them at home. Well, in their kitchen, didn't they?
I saw a recap of the sheriff and the chief of police from San Bernardino gave a recent presentation at a state sheriff's meeting. And it was a very well-documented presentation but it was quite the gunfight when they found the SUV that the two terrorists were riding in between the officers, and it took place of anywhere from 68 feet away to about almost 200 feet away. And if it wasn't for the officers having rifles, that would have been a very tough shootout for them just with handguns and shotguns.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
Yeah, rocks and sticks is where we're going
and
next. And
many of that, if you're not familiar with the 1033 program, that's where law enforcement can get military surplus. And they used a 1033 helicopter to fly people to the hospital there. They had EOD stuff, bomb technician stuff that was gotten through 1033. They had firearms that were gotten through 1033, but the president put some restrictions on 1033 after Ferguson. But those are all valuable pieces of equipment that law enforcement can get for free. That's military surplus. Otherwise, some of it gets destroyed.
The taxpayers have already paid for that. What the heck? Might as well use it.
And big money for it.
So, quick break here. We will be right back. You are listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. I guess if you have bullets at the end of the year, you'll be hiding them, huh? I mean, what are people going to do with all this stuff, Tom?
What do you mean, the laws or the bullets?
No, I mean the bullets. You know, people who have, like, let's say they do have, you know, they've been buying bullets over the last few years. I mean, a lot of people have been doing mm-hmm. that. Okay, so
hang on to them.
I mean, what the heck?
Store them. If you store them correctly, they're good for scores of years.
So they show up at your house for some reason. I don't know, some legit reason, let's just say. And they find your stash of bullets. How are they going to know when you bought those?
They could look, most of them, they can look on if they're new boxes of ammunition, factory made. Most of the boxes of ammunition have lot numbers and date of manufacture on there. But you could have tens of thousands of rounds if you're a reloader.
I know.
And you reloaded them. There's still no crime in that. But if
what if you got bullets from somebody who reloads, but you're not a reloader? Does that matter?
It would matter because remember.
Oh, yeah, you can't give bullets to anybody.
You can't give bullets to anybody.
So we won't talk about that.
You can't transfer them. So that's going to cause some. And it doesn't address on how you do it like a private transaction. So, like, if you had reloaded bullets and wanted to give them to somebody, do you have to go through a gun dealer there? Didn't. To be legal, you'd have to go through some dealer somehow.
But they go in a plastic, like a plastic tray. They're not in a box with a serial number on them.
Right, right.
No, but a lot of people buy them in bulk and carry them in
an ammo
can.
If you buy in bulk, you buy a can of them. And that would it was going to pose some problems. But I see probably a big rush on buying of ammunition before this becomes law.
Yeah,
yep.
So, got some plans on that.
Okay.
So, okay, talk about these dummies in the legislature and just the mindset of the people who do stuff like
in
this.
In the final week or so of our legislature process, these bills were coming before the Public Safety Committee, and people were testifying on their opposition to the bills. And there was some state legislators on this Public Safety Committee, and it's mainly Democrats, and they had just a vicious, vitriolic diatribe of the presenters there. There was one assemblyman, or maybe it's a Senator Hall out of L.A. area, Compton, that said the people that were testifying there, they were the pro-gun people and gun rights groups, that they were needed to wash out their filthy mouths with soap, and they were murderous, and they were putting guns into the hands of murderers. And nothing could be farther from the truth. These are individuals that their life, their career is to represent their organization, like California Rifle Pistol Association or Gun Owners of California, and to represent their members and the rights, gun owning rights of citizens. And they're there testifying, and they're getting berated for testifying there and trying to be intimidated for not testifying. And I think their First Amendment rights were probably being infringed upon.
Can you imagine if Republicans did that?
Oh, it
could
was,
you imagine? That would have been just a bloodbath.
And it was online, and I know that it has been posted on the Gun Owners of California website. Go to www.gunownersca.org, and you could probably see that there. And then another person on the Public Safety Committee, he is an assemblyman. His last name is Lowe, and then he was telling the people that he could not even look them in the eye, could not look them in the face because they were basically so despicable for presenting of being pro-gun and going against these bills. Mm. And then recently an assemblyman, his name is Reginald Jones Sawyer, or Sawyer Jones, and he's out of the Los Angeles area as well. He gave a press conference talking about these gun bills that we're making, and it was in May that he gave the presentation, I think May 18th. And I sent a letter to him disagreeing with him. But basically he said that the Second Amendment, it was made in 1791, and that it is too old and outdated for modern times, and that it needs to be amended and changed. And he was doing this as if he had the authority. Well, I wrote a letter to him and said, hey, you don't have the authority to change the Second Amendment. That comes from the federal government, not the state government. There has to be a convention of the states to make any type of constitutional amendment. And if you're saying that the Second Amendment is too old and outdated, well, the other nine amendments.
Yeah, what about the First Amendment?
The First Amendment, the Third Amendment, the Fourth and Fifth Amendment, those were all made at the same time as well. Our forefathers did not envision the computers that we have nowadays, or the Internet, or the way television and the media and newspapers are part of free speech now. Or our right to assemble and demonstrate. We have assemblies and demonstrations at all of our state capitals on a regular basis, especially Sacramento, our nation's capital. So is he saying that, hey, we should amend the First Amendment too because it was made in 1791? What about the Fourth Amendment? And that's the right to be secure in your houses, papers in effect. It's the right to search and seizure. Is he saying that that should be changed as well? Now, it has been changed over the years with court interpretations of the Fourth Amendment, and then the Patriot Act also changed the Fourth Amendment drastically, allowing searches of people's papers and effects and databases on the Fourth Amendment to protect the safety and security of the nation. That's why the Patriot Act was very debated at the time when it was being enacted.
Wasn't debated enough, though.
Wasn't debated enough.
I mean, really, right. We kind of panicked, and most people weren't really paying a lot of attention to the legislative process
now. It doesn't apply to them, but it certainly can. One of my friends, one of my sheriffs, and he recently went to purchase a firearm, and he was denied that purchase, and he couldn't figure out why. And it took him a couple of months of making phone calls. And somewhere in the federal system, he had been blocked for whatever reason. And he was finally able to get it resolved. And, you know, it was kind of a, quote, mistake. But had he not been a sheriff and had the contacts that he had.
Well, he had just gotten back from, what, 2 months of the FBI training?
He had served a long career in a state agency as a law enforcement person. He had done two tours overseas in the Middle East. He was a member of the Marine Corps, and then he was in the Army as well. He had top-level security clearances, and he was an elected sheriff on top of that. And then they're saying he couldn't purchase a firearm.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but he had to make numerous calls and emails. Some federal agencies just hung up on him and said, hey, we don't care. And eventually he was able to get it corrected. But if he had just been a regular law-abiding John Q. citizen, I doubt if that would be fixed by now.
Nope, he'd still be on the list.
They would still be trying to get it fixed.
And that's the problem. That's the whole problem with the no-fly list.
There's no new process.
Exactly.
Recently, Senator Dianne Feinstein, and she's our California state senator, very much an anti-gun person, and she is the previous mayor of San Francisco. She proposed that, out of this Orlando shooting, this person that did the Orlando, this terrorist that did the Orlando shooting, even though the others in the federal government didn't want to call him a terrorist right away, this terrorist that did the Orlando shooting was a citizen and could lawfully purchase firearms, but he was under federal investigation not once but twice, and for on the watch list and being investigated for it, but was still allowed to purchase firearms. So how could this happen? And many people were asking that. Well, the senator was making legislation that said, hey, if you're on the watch list, you're going to be prohibited from possessing and owning firearms. That's all well and good, but how do you get on the watch list? Do you have some type of due process to appeal it? How do you get on it? How do you get off of it? And that's the big thing is some people all of a sudden became on the no-fly list, and how'd they get on it? I think we found, had some of our elected officials ended up being on the no-fly list, and it took them a while to get
on. Yeah, Tom McClintock was on it.
Yeah, so I didn't know the name of who it was.
Yeah, it was Tom.
But
it was,
here we have our elected officials that are on this no-fly list. How'd they get on there? And now how'd they get off? And so there was no due process for that, and that bill was defeated along party lines.
Oh, yeah, Senator Ted Kennedy, Congressman John Lewis.
Yeah.
The one who just led the sit-in on the House.
Was on the no-fly list.
Yeah, on the House floor.
Interesting.
And they left garbage everywhere, by the way.
They did.
just for anybody who was who was curious in that the big sit-in in the House, they left.
Try that on Earth Day.
They left a total trash heap. Classic lefty maneuver there. We got a lot of stuff. Okay, we'll quick break, and we'll be right back. This is not going to be enough time. Sorry, I'm just going to lodge my complaint right now. Happy 4th of July, folks. We hope you're taking your blood pressure medication.
The chat room's going very busy in there. I don't want to say that. Say that, they might get on the
We
the
had
no
to have the cop song. Nice. We'll be right back. Catch us online. WeThePeopleRadio.us. What you want to do? What you going to do? What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? When you were 8 and you had bad traits, you go to school and learn the golden rule. So why are you acting like a bloody fool? If you get hot, then you must get cool. Bad boys, what you gonna do? Oh, what you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? A bit of soap will wash away your lipstick on my face. But a little bit of soap will never erase the pain in my heart and my eyes as I go through the lonely hills. A little bit of soap will never wash away my tears. Nice.
There was a follow-up story, and I think I'm telling this correctly. Sam Paredes of Gun Owners of California was on with Carl earlier this week.
Yes.
He said he was testifying on another bill in Sacramento and had the opportunity to present Senator Isidore Hall, who had called for our mouths to be washed out with soap. Sam had the opportunity to present Senator Hall with a bar of soap.
Nice.
Good for him.
Senator Hall's head reportedly exploded.
Was that after they called Sam a murderer? Didn't they call Sam a murderer?
Yes.
Yeah, what
for putting guns in the hands of criminals and murderers, which that is nothing is even close to the truth there.
Yeah. And so kind of on the federal level, because we saw the sit-in, and I mentioned it before the thing, I had kind of a list of stuff I will post, actually, but the main bill that they were worked up about was the no-fly, no-buy thing. That was the thing they were chanting on the House floor. The no-fly list is obviously notoriously inaccurate. There is no established process for being put on it. At one time, it did include McClintock, Kennedy, and John Lewis, and 98% of those on the list do not reside in the U.S. Hmm. So I'm sure that's going to make us all a lot safer, you know.
Right.
For the 2% that they do get who happen to be congressmen, senators, and other people. The proposals have all failed on a bipartisan basis since we've been talking about state stuff, kind of throw in federal a little bit. They failed in the Senate. the week prior. They failed in the House Appropriations Committee, and in the House, the gun control measures that were heard before appropriations, where the Democrats, they tried to insert them into spending bills, and those failed. So contrary to what, you know, they were saying that they won't bring things up for a vote, all those bills had already been voted on and had already failed with bipartisan votes. So their whole thing was a fundraising stunt yet again. Imagine that. Let's see. Removing Citizens Fifth Amendment rights. I'm like scanning down here. Oh, the assault rifle thing. We should bring that up. My note says assault rifle, a select fire rifle that includes fully automatic 3-round burst options. They've been highly regulated since 1934.
Correct.
And illegal for almost all owners since 1986. No crimes have been committed with these rifles, and they are not legal for sale, except in very rare, highly regulated circumstances.
Because an assault rifle is a fully automatic, or has fully automatic capabilities. You depress the trigger, and it fires until you let off the trigger.
But we don't have that.
We don't have that.
But they changed the definition.
But the definition, what you hear, is assault weapon.
Right, and I have that. Politically made up term from the late 80s.
Right.
I didn't realize it went back that far. Meaning scary rifle. There's no actual definition, but the liberals commonly use it to describe a civilian AR-15 or AK-47 that is semi-automatic. One trigger pull equals one bullet fired.
Correct.
These are illegal in California by name. And feature restriction, detachable magazines, pistol grips, variations with fixed magazines that can be removed with a tool are legal.
And that's the,
that's
tool,
the bullet button.
The bullet button, correct.
So you can use a bullet or something else to depress
now,
and remove the magazine.
Now, as of January, that will become illegal.
So what are you supposed to have? Like a, this is almost like a car where you have no gas cap. Like you can fill it up once with gas, and then afterwards you got to throw it away.
The,
what kind of a gun is this? That
the AR-15 and the platform, the model of it, is the one of the most popular sporting rifles in the nation. And it is essentially what the musket was back in early times. It's today's modern musket. It's relatively inexpensive. It's easily customized and made for whatever type of shooting you want to do, whether it be target, varminting, hunting. And, yes, you can take it hunting. No, you can't have a 20-round or a 30-round magazine. That's restricted in California to a maximum of 5 rounds, I think, for hunting purposes.
Hmm.
So it can be used. And a lot of the legislators say, no, it can't be used for hunting. That's, again, another misnomer and false. And some of these guns, like a Ruger Mini 14, it comes with a standard wood stock. And then if you convert it and have a scary black stock with Picatinny rail on it and a foregrip and a pistol grip, now it becomes somehow an assault weapon. But it hasn't changed in any way the way it fires, the cyclic
shoots
rate.
It's the same bullet. Same
bullet.
Yeah.
And everything. So.
These guys, the other thing to note, I have some stats since Obama became the president. Americans purchase an average of 52,000 guns a day.
Wow.
Wow. So if actually if people who legally buy guns are, you know, creating chaos and mayhem and all that, 52,000 guns a day.
Well, he's been
should have a lot more. So that's
he's been called our best salesman.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Since he was sworn in, over 140,000 background checks have been done for gun purchases. So for all those people who think, you know, we're not background checking people, 140 million. Sorry, did I say thousand? 140 million of them have been done.
Wow. Hey, you know what, too? And I talked about it earlier in the show where gun sales have been rising ever since about 1981.
Mm-hmm.
We have the most sales recently. But yet, generally, violent crime is down on a national level. Now, remember, California has some of the strictest gun control laws in the nation. But yet, it just appeared in our newspapers, the Sacramento Bee and others, reported by California Department of Justice. Violent crime is up 10%, even with all the recent gun control laws. Why do you think that is? Because a few years
because
ago...
Because we keep letting all the criminals out?
Out of prison. A few years ago, we had Assembly Bill 109 that released people from prison. And Assembly Bill 109, for those same people or the people committing those same crimes, they don't go back to prison. They do their time in jail. And then we had Proposition 47 that was voted on by the citizens of the state and approved, and that reduced a whole bunch of felonies, mainly drug-related and property-related crimes, theft, and released more people from prison and returned less people to jail and prison. Now, our governor, Jerry Brown, has his own initiative. I call it the AB 109 Phase 2. I don't know if he has named the initiative yet, but his initiative would release even more people from prison. And the reason they're doing it is to, A, save money from what it costs to incarcerate somebody in prison, and to get out from underneath the federal three-judge panel that brought us AB 109. The governor's measure is going to provide anybody convicted of a nonviolent felony, but remember, those have been already released from prison and sentenced to state prison would be eligible for parole after completing their full term, but they're only giving like 50% and 85% of their terms right now. It grants authority by California Department of Corrections and Rehab to give more credits for good behavior. So they'll probably be getting good behavior credits for sitting in their cell, playing cards or something like that.
I had another list, but it's probably inappropriate.
They're going to require the Department of Corrections also to adopt regulations in regards to giving those credits. That requires the secretary to certify those regulations and protect and enhance them in public safety. And then it's going to require district attorneys that want to try a juvenile as an adult, usually it's about 16 or 17-year-olds, instead of doing that, now they're going to have to go to court and go through a whole court process to get the court to authorize that. There's a lot of concerns about it from the state sheriffs. The initiative only contains provisions dealing with inmate releases and doesn't address the lack of prison capacity. We need more prison beds. It doesn't exempt sex offenders who are in prison from early parole or credits. So now you can release more sex offenders.
Yeah, we definitely want more of them on the street. There's nonviolent.
And potentially allows felons with prior violent strikes. So maybe you're in on a nonviolent one, but you have a long list of violence convictions in your past. It's going to allow them, because only nonviolent felonies that you're in for will be qualifying. And it doesn't prohibit the application for increased credit provisions to go to murderers, rapists, and those class of offenders as well. So in essence, they could be getting those credits and getting out. The offenders who get early parole and then violate their parole will be housed in county jail versus prison, because remember, they're wanting to reduce the prison population. What's the problem with housing them in county jails?
Mm-hmm.
There's no room.
I was going to say,
exactly.
Where exactly would you put them?
Yeah.
In Shasta County, we're full. And in 37 of the other counties in the state, they're having capacity problems as well with AB 109 and Prop 47.
And I think a lot of people want to know why we aren't like Joe Arpaio in New Mexico.
With the tent cities.
We can't.
California regulations prohibit it. But I do get asked that quite often. So this will end up impacting the jails even more by introducing more violent, sophisticated offenders into our jails and turning them into little mini prisons, which we're seeing that throughout California as well. And then it eliminates the ability of the prosecutors to make it more difficult for them to charge juvenile offenders as adults. And it's also going to impair victims' finality of justice by opening the door to inmates serving less than their original sentences. So the victims are going to get victimized again by these people getting released early.
And you got to also look at the jailers. I mean, when you're bringing in a much more violent bunch of criminals into a county jail.
Oh.
I mean, the amount of injuries and danger involved.
Our inmate on staff assaults have increased, and that's been reported throughout California as well. Mm-hmm. And our inmate on inmate assaults have increased as well. And that's also the same phenomena is going on in other jails throughout California, because essentially now they're little mini prisons, and they see a higher level. And that's because of AB 109 and Prop 47. It's very difficult. And what I should remind people to do, make sure, especially thinking of this 4th of July weekend, people have died to protect our rights to be able to vote. And so even if you're all upset and depressed, hey, I'm not even going to vote this year, please do not do that. Get out and exercise your right to vote for the person that you choose. But more importantly, be an informed voter. A lot of the voters didn't understand Proposition 47. It had a nice name to it.
Isn't it Safe Schools?
The Safe Schools and Neighborhood Act. Who doesn't want Safe Schools and Neighborhood?
That. Exactly.
But that released thousands more from prison, and they were saying it was going to put $100 million into the schools. The legislative analyst of office in Sacramento now came up to and said that it's only going to put about $29 million into the schools, much, much less. And when you spread $29 million statewide, that's not a whole lot for going into the schools.
No. Well, they played that same game with the lottery.
It was a big sham.
Yeah.
So when you look at this governor's initiative, look at it carefully. It does not have good things related to it. But the governor has attended our meetings, at the sheriff's meetings, and he said, you know what, if it doesn't pass, I'm going to release them anyway.
Good.
But we're fortunate here in the North State. We have good legislators. We have Brian Dolly, our assemblyman. We have Senator Ted Gaines. We have Senator Jim Nielsen. We have Assemblyman James Gallagher. We have our Congressman Doug LaMalfa. They're conservative. They're pro-gun, pro-Second Amendment, and they vote that way. But they're outnumbered at the state legislature level, and somewhat outnumbered at the federal level as well.
Thank goodness some of the federal guys haven't lost their minds completely.
And that's why it's important. Even if you know our legislators are in favor or opposing certain bills, it's important to let your voice be heard. You can email, you can phone call our legislators. You can send a letter. And even if I wrote a number of opposition letters to these gun bills at the state level, and send them to the authors, so then the authors can track of how many is opposed. They usually put little tick marks of how many people are calling in of opposed and support.
It's worth it to oppose it because, you know, I mean, we sometimes think it's a foregone conclusion, but we better oppose it.
We've
got to take a really swift break. Yeah,
we'll have a quick break and finish up here.
Yeah, try to cram it as much as we can at the very end. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
With a bullet, got my finger on the trigger. I'm gonna pull it. I'm picked a clip now. I'm the son of a gun. So hold it right there, little girl, little girl. We're gonna have big fun.
I may be an oldie, but I'm a goodie too.
Dances at the county jail, right?
Sock hops.
That's what I've heard.
Hey, you know, we were talking earlier.
We have like 5 minutes, so don't talk too much about what we got earlier.
I won't. This is my 1 minute.
Kidding.
We were talking earlier about gun sales and how they've gone up. I might just want to add that a substantial amount of those gun sales and ammunition sales are made by the government now, so we should feel a lot safer.
Oh yeah,
knowing that the
IRS has
IRS
a ton of bullets.
And,
yeah, yeah,
you know,
that's fantastic.
Social Security—they're all armed now, so we should feel a lot safer, folks.
There was a theory that the government was buying up so much ammunition as to cause some of the shortages and drive up the cost too.
Oh, I'm sure they wouldn't do that.
Yeah, but anyway, too, we've talked a lot about guns. Make sure that you're an informed voter. Go to if you want about gun legislation, Gun Owners of California, www.gunowners.ca, excuse me, gunownersca.org.
They're a dot com.
Are they a dot
com?
Yeah,
I just checked them.
And then CRPA, California Rifle Pistol Association, CRPA.org. And they have a lot of stuff on California legislation. And then, of course, NRA-ILA.org for National Rifle Association. You can look up federal legislation on there and some state legislation.
And according to a call I got last week, you know, you can also get information about BLM because NRA and BLM are the same organization.
Oh, yeah, they're working together now. Yeah,
yeah, I know. Inexplicable, isn't it?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I was pretty sure she didn't know what she was talking about. Yeah.
And then also to be responsible gun owners, make sure your guns are safely stored. If you can't afford a gun safe, you can have some gun locks, and that would help prevent young hands from getting a hold of them.
Yeah.
You can buy some of the pistol security safes. They're not security as part of preventing theft, but they do prevent access to young hands as well. And if you can afford it, you can get some safes, some gun safes, starting around $350, and lock your guns up and record the serial numbers. Normally, when we take gun thefts at homes, most people do not have the serial numbers of the guns recorded. And that's important because when we take our reports, we enter those serial numbers into a national crime computer database. And that gun, if it gets recovered, or anything with a serial number, if that gets recovered anywhere in the U.S. and that gun is run, then that comes back as stolen. And so that's why it's important at least to have the serial numbers recorded and some place that you can access them. And then, of course, your other important papers and stuff can be in that safe
as
well.
Is the recovery rate on stolen handguns high? I would think that
it's very low.
Oh, it is. Where do they go? I mean, do they use them once and throw them away? Or?
Gangs?
Sometimes they get thrown away, but oftentimes they're not recorded because we don't have the serial number.
Okay.
And so we've seen guns that float around for maybe 10, 15 years, and it was serial number was recorded, and then it comes up as stolen. Sometimes the numbers get filed off. Obviously, if we find a firearm with the number filed off, that's a crime in itself.
I was going to say, that gets seized.
Figure it's stolen.
And so we got a lot of things we covered today, but please, on this 4th of July, remember our freedoms, but we got the elections coming up. Get out and vote.
Yeah, we better stand up for our freedoms or they won't be there anymore. Sheriff Tom Basenko, you're a huge friend of everyone who lives in Shasta County.
Thanks.
We appreciate it. You can find an archive of this program. We hope you'll share it with other people, especially people who don't understand what's going on with the gun laws. And we need them to vote correctly. WeThePeopleRadio.us.
Thanks, everybody.